The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Time for your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Kathy is in Georgia. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Afternoon. I was glad to hear all the ladies call in earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Beth, may you have lots of prayers, love, and blessings. And to your mom, Miss Frances, may you have many jewels in your crown. But, Paul, I have some issues I need to talk to you about. You touched it based on it, beginning with the basketball girls and men winning. And now my football, you know, I'm just worried with this lawsuit that these Alabama people are going to do. Am I going to lose my assets because of it? I mean, I've got my ring in there and my safety deposit box. I want Legend of Kiss. I got Larry's defibrillator. Black hat for all the black hat crew. I'm worried. Am I going to be okay?
Kathy, I think you will be. These are not dangerous people. They're just angry people.
Yes. Well, I was worried because I do. Legend is right. They're sitting on the porch. We're on the throne. And I just don't want him to have to, you know, kick me out of there until next year, like he said. But anyway, you have a good afternoon, dear.
Thank you very much. Matt is in Texas.
Hey, Brother Paul, how are you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum?
Matt,
I want to talk to you about something very important. I created my own radio podcast show like you have.
Oh, really?
And I want some tips. Thank you. I appreciate that, Brother. It's on like a YouTube thing, but it's not really a YouTube thing. I just record what I say, and it's on Twitter, and let people respond. And I want some tips, some advice from you. What should I do? How should I get nervous? And would you listen to my podcast for me, Paul?
Yeah, well tell me, Matt, first of all, what have you done so far?
I did one. So far, I've done one, episode. Not really episode, but I've done one thing so far. I put on Twitter what I wanted to say on it. It's mainly
A&M. Let's make this easy. Just go ahead and tell us what you said, and then we'll Randy, you're
– Okay.
Randy and I will critique it.
Okay.
I mean, by the way, Matt, don't be nervous that millions of people are currently watching and listening.
That's no problem, Brother Paul. I was saying this is a Matthew Tucker podcast show, radio. If you like what you hear, chime in. Give me your thoughts and opinions on this show. My first topic is about Texas A&M football, the Pac-12 problem they have with the expansion of 12-team playoff. I believe this year Texas A&M will go 10-2, maybe 11-1, 9-3. And if A&M wants to get over that hump, Jimbo Fisher needs to be able to develop the players he's brought in if you want to get over that hump. If you keep on going 8-4 every year, he's going to be looking for a new job soon. That's what I can remember so far, Paul.
I'll tell you what, Matt, I like the way you ended that. That reminded me of a guy who became a talk show host that once was a sports columnist who went right for the jugular, and that's what you did. Randy, you agree?
Absolutely.
I think that was an A+. I mean, as Professor Paul, I'm giving you an A+.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I'm not nervous when I get on the show, but when I do my recording of it, I get a little nervous. I get tongue twisted. I don't know how to break that.
You can't be. Listen, all you can do is, what was that, Randy?
Just
take a deep breath.
Okay.
The bigger, who said this? I'm trying to remember. The bigger the audience, the bigger the subject, the more narrow focused you get. You just block all of that out. And you just kind of, when you're communicating with people, Matt, you just think about talking to one person. Don't think about talking to a room full of people. And you just talk to that one person, and you be comfortable, and just don't rush. Don't hurry. Just take your time. And remember, the most important thing in speaking is breathing.
and you
can often listen to some of our callers who don't breathe, like Daryl.
Yes. I got a question to ask you about my podcast and one other thing. Paul, I would consider an honor if you listen to it. You're like a brother to me. You're like family to me, everybody on this show, except for Jim. And Legend's not so bad, but you, my TCU brother, Iman, Augie, Mitch, you all like brothers to me, and I just hope you like it.
Matt, we loved it. And you you continue to work at it, and you never know. A small podcast could branch into something big that you could become the next Joe Rogan.
All right. My one last question. Don't get upset at me, Paul Feinbaum. I know Mitch doesn't like Jim Tuscaloosa. I just have to ask, brother. I'm not trying to offend anybody, including you, my brother here. But why do you like Jim? And I'm not trying to make you upset. I just want to honestly answer that, all my friend. You've always been a straight shooter with me.
Well, the thing about Jim that I admire is that he is a straight shooter. Mm-hmm. He gets right to the point. He doesn't give you a long preamble. He just comes in and it's like and hits you over the head with a crowbar. I mean, that's why he is different and unique than some of the.
Well, I can understand that. The only reason why I don't like him, honestly, I'm not saying I hate the guy.
Well, that's okay.
It's just, I actually do hate him, but honestly, I don't like his guy. He mistreats women on this show. He acts like a sexist pig. He thinks he's the future of this show, and he doesn't appreciate this show like all the rest of us do and what you've done for us in our lives. And I just
so Matt, let me put you on the spot here. And this is if I ever got into a classroom, the Socratic method of teaching is using the information that you're trying to teach by asking questions and ascertaining information from various people. So Matt, if I ask you this question, you've briefly described Jim. If you had to identify the one thing about Jim that makes your blood boil the hottest, what is it?
He's very narcissistic, and he thinks he's the future, and he mistreats women. Those are the things that this. Because may I be honest with you about something, Paul?
Please do.
I want the audience to know this. When I was a kid, my dad lied to me half my life, and I don't like that about him either. He wasn't there for me that much. He kind of did things to my mom. I'm not going to say he did. I didn't like, and it made me the person I am today because my mom and my grandma taught me not to be like that. And when Jim mistreats women like that, that also gets my blood boiling. Because I was always taught as a kid, you should respect women, their opinion, don't mistreat them. And I know he's going to go on a date, but never mistreat them, never hit them, never abuse them. Treat them with honor, dignity, kindness, and respect.
Well, I'll tell you something, Matt. Thank you for the call. My parents taught me the exact same thing. You be well. Take care of yourself. Let's see who's next. Jim is next. Jimmy there?
Yeah, I'm trying to listen to that little boy.
I'll tell you what, Jim.
I can't understand what he's saying. I'm listening to him on air right now. I mean, but you know what, Paul? I just got to ask you, who makes this show about me? Me or Matt and which man from South Carolina? Lying Mitch, the old man? Who makes it about me? Them or me, Paul? And be honest, have I made any call? Okay, I'm going to let you answer. Go ahead. I say another word.
You know the answer to that, Jim.
Well, how about you answering it for me?
Well, no. I mean, you call in about topics that we are always discussing. You never call in about yourself.
Me, right.
Me, myself, but why and do they, I.
Like, I know, why do they put that lie out like Matt, like that old man from South Carolina, just totally lied and filthy lied. He's a filthy old man, lying old man. Why do these people do that?
Jim, you're going to stop me because you're going to say to me when I answer your question.
Okay, well, I'll just answer for you
the same thing.
Because,
Jim, you get upset about things that bother you, that irritate you, that you're envious of, that you're jealous of. You know that.
Well, here's the thing, though, Paul. Here's the thing. I just, is that wrong that I don't like people that say blatant lies about me?
Well, I don't like people to say blatant lies about me. I don't think anyone does.
Well, I mean, let me ask you, should I have, I started to not respond to the old Ryan man that came on early in the show, who you had to kick off there because he cussed, and then he went on and elaborated about how much how bad I am, how much I talk about me. I'm a narcissist. And you just got through saying that's not true. But should I have responded to him, or just I started not to just say nothing? A legend tells me, Jeff from Ohio, they're both respectable people. They're both smart people, and they're friends of mine. And they say, don't even respond to that old guy.
I had a lawyer tell
me. I'm trying to ask you a question, Paul.
Well, I'm trying to
answer. They tell me, don't. Well, let me ask it.
Okay.
They say, don't even respond to that old guy. He's irrelevant. You know he's lying. And you just look bad even responding to them. Are you agreeing with that or what?
Well, I'll try to answer that. I had dinner, I don't know, about 5 or 10 years ago with one of the best lawyers I've ever met. He was brilliant. He once got a guy off.
It wasn't John Fortenberry. What's his name?
John was a great lawyer, unfortunately. He's passed
away.
Yes, he did. He did, about 2 years ago.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
This lawyer got a guy off. I mean, he could have gone to jail for 900 years, and he got him off scot-free. Of course, he ended up going to jail later on something else. And I asked him once, I said, Donald, I said, why do you do what you do? He said, my philosophy is this, Jim. He said, if you take a shot at me, I'm coming back. Why? I said, why? He said, because that's the next thing in the public record. You never let a shot go without being answered. I know you subscribe to that, Jim. Now, unfortunately, that lawyer I'm talking about is currently in the federal prison. But other than that,
I know who he is, Donald
Watkins.
I know.
Other than that, he was a great lawyer. But you know, sometimes that's his philosophy. I don't subscribe to that, by the way. I don't believe in answering every allegation
help me, Paul. I'm like Matt. I need help. I'm confused because sometimes
when you answer
agree
every
with
allegation,
Donald.
you then go down to their level, and I know that's not something you would want to do, Jim.
No, I don't. But here's the thing: I do somewhat agree at times. Like today, I think I should have responded to the old lying guy that came out and said, you know, Mitch. I think I should have responded.
That's
but
fair.
Again, like I said, legend and smart people say you're just giving those guys a ride on your coattails. That's all they want because you don't need to respond to them. But people know what they're about. They hate Jim because they ain't him. That's what they tell me.
That's it.
And that's what a guy said one time on the show. But, you know, I agree with that to some extent, Paul. But then there's other times I totally agree with Jeff and Legend when they say, don't even respond.
Well, here's the thing, Jim. I'll end it here because they're rushing me out. But you have to pick your spots. It's a cliche. You can't respond to everything, just the big things. And you did that today because Mitch and Matt obviously are big guys on this show. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And welcome back here on a quiet Wednesday afternoon. Let's check in with Jim in Huntsville, Alabama. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Listen, I wanted to just kind of reminisce with you, if I could, a little bit about 39 years ago today, as you brought up. Like you, as you were in Birmingham, I was working for the ABC television affiliate in Huntsville. As a news reporter, and what was in the newsroom that day when we got the call. Actually, you know, it was a busy time of day. It was around 1:30 or so, and the phone. I answered the phone. We were pushing deadline for our upcoming newscast, and you know, the phone kept ringing, you know, 25 people in the room and no one's answering the phone, so I answer the phone. And I get a basically an anonymous call saying, hey, I heard that Bear Bryant died. And I was like, huh? And so we, I said, all right, hang on a second. So I put my hand over the phone and yelled out in the newsroom, has anyone heard anything about Bear Bryant dying? And everybody looks at me like I'm crazy, you know. No, we hadn't heard anything. So I got back to the phone and told him, sorry, we haven't heard anything. Okay, thanks, hang up. So, you know, I went back to work, and as did everyone else. And about 30 seconds after I'd gotten that call, the AP wire machine, which, you know, used to be AP wire machine,
oh, yeah?
UPIs of that day, started going crazy. And I was like, uh-oh. And I run over and I see it. So, anyways, I was just curious to know exactly where you were that day, because I was pretty surprised by it, and because I graduated from Alabama, I was there from 75 to 79, so during some pretty good years when Bear was there, they sent me to cover his funeral, and they sent me to Elmwood. And I don't know where you were, if you were in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, Jim,
both places.
It's interesting. Ironically, of all places, I was inside Legion Field covering a football practice. The Birmingham Stallions of the new USFL team was holding a tryout for Alabama and Auburn players. And I was in there with a bunch of Alabama guys, including Russ Wood, who often calls on this day, a great defensive player. And a guy, it was a PR person for the Birmingham Stallions, came running out, and he said, I just heard Coach Bryant died. And all these guys had just played in that same stadium, what, 2 months earlier for Coach Bryant and a month earlier in Memphis. So I did what you would have done had you been elsewhere. I fumbled it. I began running because I knew where it was. There was I don't want anyone to laugh, but this is the era that we were living in, Jim, as you know. I ran out through the tunnel, and there was a phone booth right outside of Legion Field. I don't remember what would a phone call have cost in 1983, a quarter, 10 cents. I don't remember. I called our office 2 or 3 miles away. I said, I said, hey, and the guy just screamed, get back here. Like, okay. I didn't even go back in the stadium. I knew that story was over. So I jumped in the car, and then, like you, I experienced a real live newsroom on the busiest day that any of us can ever remember.
And what I think what really surprised a lot of people was, and I can remember it being on the front page of the paper.
Right.
I can remember it being on the front page of the paper the night before that he was in the hospital, that he was going to be okay.
Yeah, we ran a story that we were the morning paper, Jim, as you may remember. We ran a story that morning saying he had gone by one of his close friends, Jimmy Hinton's house, and had some pain in his chest, and so he went down to the hospital and they checked him in. And I'll share this story with you. Jerry Duncan played football at Alabama. You may remember him. Great player.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you bet.
He later went into the investment business, and Jerry later told me that Coach Bryant had the heart. He was having an X-ray about, I guess it was 1:30, maybe Central Time. And when he had the heart attack, about 2 hours earlier, he was on the phone with Jerry. Jerry was a stockbroker buying I think it was a municipal bond or something. I don't remember. It was a pretty weighty purchase. I think it was a $100,000 purchase for Coach Bryant. That was probably walking around change. But he was thinking about his investments 2 hours, but 2 or 3 hours before he died. And then I got back to the newspaper and wrote the main story was, you know, Coach Bryant died. I wrote the second story, which, you know, the analysis of whatever. Mainly he's talked about, that famous line that we've all heard a million times. Coach Bryant was once asked if he, had he ever considered retiring? And if he said, if I retired, he said, I'd croak in a month. And it was just a few days more than that, less than that, as you know. So then I went to Tuscaloosa
about three weeks later. It was true.
Yeah, we went down. I went to Tuscaloosa that night. We stayed at the old Stafford Hotel, and then Thursday all day we covered the viewing. And it was first at a funeral home, then at Coleman Coliseum, and then the next morning I was at the church. And I'll tell this story for the final time, Jim. Back then, we didn't have 100 reporters covering a story like this. So my boss said, I want you to cover the whole day. I said, what do you mean the whole day? He said, cover the church. I think it was a Methodist church. And then just come on back and cover what happened at Elmwood. As I got in my car, I realized the procession was not going to wait for me, so I broke into the procession at the very back. I'm sure I committed some felony.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you were even able to make it to Elmwood
normally, but it took a long time for this procession to leave Tuscaloosa, and I was just kind of waiting. And right near the end, I literally just barged in front of a car near the end. So I rode to Birmingham with the police escort in the very back of a very long procession of a hearse and the family, and then several buses of the football team. And it was I would say, no matter how long my career goes from here, Jim, it was the most memorable hour I think I've ever spent, because I had one of those old cassette tape recorders. And I literally talked to myself the entire time describing what I was seeing. And toward the end, when you saw those signs and those little kids, I had a line in my piece. I said, even the dogs look sad. I found tears coming down my cheeks. And then we pulled into Elmwood. And Elmwood, you were at Elmwood. Elmwood was like a scene out of an apocalyptic movie. I mean, there were 10 helicopters overboard. You couldn't hear anything.
I don't know where they positioned you, Paul, once you got to Elmwood. I know with me and my cameraman, they had roped off, like with one of these crime scene tapes, like a triangle of three trees. And they put us there in the triangle. And so we were right there by the graveside, of course, so we could get our video. But I mean, you're right. Looking back on the crowd, and I vaguely remember seeing, Joe Namath and
everybody was there,
and the whole crowd.
Jim, I'm ashamed to say I was right near the front, because I walked out of the procession. Everybody thought I was part of the funeral party, but. The most memorable thing was the night before, being at the Landing restaurant. My old boss, Bill Lumpkin, dragged me along, and we had a table near the front, and it was a coaching convention. Namath and Stabler and Eddie Robinson, Woody Hayes, George Allen was there representing President Reagan. I've never seen more famous coaches and players. And it was. Thanks so much for the call, Jim. It was literally a wake. Some of you have heard that story before. I apologize. I will not tell it again.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul.
That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back, and Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Trey.
Hey, my friend. How are you?
Trey, we're doing wonderful. Thank you.
Before we get started, I was wondering if I could go ahead and get Andre to pick me up and order a large fries. I could use some today, Paul.
Let me check. Has Andre gone through the drive-thru yet, Randy?
Yes.
He can go back. Well, he's not that far away.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Hey, Paul, that call from Jim, was that call that he just made not about Jim?
I thought Jim was very humble in that call.
Paul, it was about Jim, and that's what everybody's complaint is. But anyway, no. I'm in a predicament here, Paul.
Okay, so
see if you can help me out. And it hadn't been brought up on your show yet. You know, I'm a veteran, and Paul, I've been thinking about these Olympics.
Yes.
But I'm not sure how I feel. I don't think that I want to watch the Olympics. But then again, I think I might feel a little bad not supporting my fellow American athletes. So I'm just wondering what your thought is on that and what some other callers' thought is on that. And I'll hang up and listen. And thank you for taking my call, Paul.
Yeah, I think like everything else, it's a choice, or personal choice. I don't know if you're really supporting them or not by watching. It's going to be controversial, and usually if America is doing well in the Olympics, we watch. And I think people will be watching. Coach is in Nashville. How are you, Coach?
Hey, Paul, how you doing, man? Long time no hear from.
Well, I should have called you sooner. I apologize.
I had some medical issues went on. I was out of touch for a while, but I'm back now. I'm back now.
Great to hear.
I just want to call you and just let you know. You know, I love my LSU Tigers, and I'm in a place now with them, with Brian coming over, Coach Kelly coming over. I think I've watched our team. I'm 56 years old. I've been watching them since I've been an LSU fan. Since I may have been in junior high, and I went through the 12 years where we was horrible. Where we were Vanderbilt, basically. And stuff. So I've seen a lot of coaches to know that Brian Kelly, we finally got a coach. Everybody keeps hearing saying a CEO. I can't wait to see next year just to see how he make in-game changes and decisions. I've never seen that at LSU, you know. We either just going to out-talent somebody or get the luck of the straw. But we got a man now that's proven with his high, I love the trend, high attack and the transporter. Transfer portal. I love that. And so I think LSU finna be something greater than we've ever seen, man. I really do.
Well, Coach, first of all, I don't think it's a difficult job because LSU is so rich in talent. The state is so rich and the infrastructure there is really good. And I think Ed Orgeron and Les Miles combined prove that literally anyone can win a national championship at LSU. And Brian Kelly is so many cuts above both of them as a capable and competent head football coach that I agree with you. I think once things settle down, he will have them in contention and the recruiting will follow.
Oh, I know. Oh, that's going to come. But one thing I'm going to tell you that nobody's really, really looking at, unless you actually inside and notice it. Now, you know, it's a lot of changes that came to the staff, for us, the on-field personnel all over the university. With Brian Kelly, also, not only is he going to have a great team on the field, this is going to trickle down to just the average student body. The atmosphere is going to change. That old Louisiana good old boy coach, all that's going to go away. And you're going to get an injection of the 20th century in LSU. LSU is going to be a great, it's always been a great university, but it's actually going to live up to what it's, and that man's going to bring it there.
I hope so. Coach, you be well. You take care of yourself. Let me hear from you soon. Thank you very, very much. Dot is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Dot.
Hello, Professor Feinbaum. Greetings and salutations.
Thank you.
Wanted to go back a little bit in history, and you were talking about the end of Coach Bryant's life, and it's truly a sad day. I remember being a young guy and kind of shedding a tear myself because I knew the great had left the earth. But the point of it was when Bear Bryant was at Alabama, he was also roommates and playing football there with Clemson University's coach, Frank Howard.
Right.
And later on in life, Frank went to Clemson, did a really good job, and Bear got laid off in about 1957 from Texas A&M and was looking for work. So he called his old roommate and he asked for a job. And the way Frank told it was, he said he decided not to give Bear a chance. He said, now he knows that he went on to Alabama, did a great job, was able to go and, you know, win all the national championships and do everything he did. But he could have had him at Clemson, but he said he knew if he brought him in, assistant coach, probably be a year or two till he got him kicked out of the ACC. He'd be doing such a good job, they wanted to fire him. Where would he be, and where would Coach Bryant be, and Clemson be number one? And that's the story he used to tell about working with Bear Bryant. He had the greatest respect, thought he was one of the most brightest, most intelligent men he ever met.
Well, that is interesting. I've never heard that one. And Frank Howard, one of the all-time characters, I had the opportunity to sit with him at a dinner many, many years ago. And just colorful doesn't describe that man. Hey, thank you for the call. We will take a break. More to come. Plenty of time for you to get in. Heather Dinich coming up in the next hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We welcome all of you back. Great to have you here. And Bo is in Charleston. Hey, Bo, good afternoon.
Hi, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you very much.
All right, first things first. I'm a big fan of your show. Grew up a lifetime dog fan. Since UGA won the championship, what is the likelihood for UGA to win another championship with JT in the transfer portal?
I wouldn't make Georgia the favorite to win next year. I think they'll be good, but yeah, I know who may start the season, but I'm not convinced who will finish the season as a starter next year for Georgia. Are you?
I mean, no, but we have lost some of our better players because all of them are going to the draft. I mean, Stetson Bennett, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, all going to the draft.
Well, hold on. Stetson Bennett is not going to the draft.
Oh, then what am I saying then? Yeah,
I'm not sure. Stetson has announced he is coming back. Rick is up next in Alabama. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
Well, thank you.
This is your I-95, buddy.
Oh, great. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. I've got two questions. One, do you think that when Bo Nix went to Oregon, that was a sign, and then Mason left? I don't think that Harsin's going to make it because they've got Penn State and LSU home and Alabama and Georgia away. And my second question, do you know Daniel Moore?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm friends with him, and I hope he does a print of the Alabama-Auburn game, because I've got the perfect title for it. I call it The Disaster in the Past.
Yeah, it's funny. I bet Daniel does not do that print, though. because Daniel likes to sell to Auburn fans as well. Hey, thanks, Rick. Appreciate it. Russ is up next. Hey, Russ.
How you doing, Paul?
Russ, I thought of you this morning. I said, here we are again on the 26th of January, and it is a Wednesday, just like it was in 1983.
Yep. 39 years ago. You know, last year we talked about this day, and, you know, next year we're going to have to do your show from Legion Field, North End Zone, Stadium Seat, third row, and back in your Birmingham news reporting days.
Let's count on, yeah, for those who haven't heard, Russ Wood was the player I was interviewing about 2:30 in the afternoon on this date 39 years ago. Great player at Alabama, made some spectacular tackles and sacks in big games, and including Coach Bryant's last game. And you were at a workout for the USFL team when and you had a couple of your other teammates with you, did you not?
Yeah, there was a handful. You know, they had the territorial draft back then,
right,
and everybody in the surrounding states. And I just happened to be in line. You know, you were interviewing me, but there was five or six of us, or ten of us, probably sitting in the old bleachers. You remember the old,
yeah,
I call them, you know, high school bleachers, and in that north end zones before they upgraded a little bit. But, just, you know, was blessed to be there at Alabama, and, you know, had two good, great years as a starter next to, you know, I want to give a little shout out. May he rest in peace. I don't know if you knew about Mike Pitts passed away.
And, Russ, I did. I was at this event in Birmingham in late December, you know, that Jeremiah Castile put on. You may have heard about it.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And I ran into someone who told me about Mike, and I was so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I went to his service over in Georgia, and like I said, I used to joke. The only reason I got the headlines that I did, because you had a first round 14-year NFL guy on the other side, and you had Mike Pitts or Russ Wood. Who would you run at? And everybody ran at me and yeah.
No, I saw some of your teammates there. I'm trying to remember who else. I saw a bunch of them from Jeremiah. I saw Walter Lewis. So we did a Q&A on the stage.
Right.
Who's the guy that just got in the Hall of Fame? I had a long conversation with him.
Sylvester Croom was on your show the other day.
Yeah, by the way, Sylvester was talking about you, I think, in that conversation.
I got some hits from my name was being mentioned, and speaking of that, Mr. Paul, I need to put a shout out to my uncle Jackie and Olivia up in Indiana, who is from Alabama, Greenville, Alabama, and they listened to your show, and he called me this week and said, "Hey, you gonna call in, aren't you?" And Uncle Jack, he's a veteran fireman, rodeo champion. I used to go to Montgomery to the Coliseum as a kid and watch him in the rodeos. But Uncle Jack and Olivia listen to your show up there, even though they're from Indiana. They know you don't care for the Purdue people, but that's all right.
That's funny. No, well, I'm glad to hear that. No, it was yeah, I tell you who I ran into. It was EJ Jr. He was telling me about a couple of things, but it was Russ. I appreciate your call because you know, you are really my memory of that day, at least until I got back to work. Because it was, as you remember, when we heard that, when that guy came running over,
yeah,
time stopped.
Yeah, we all did. And then, you know, we ran out. You know, nobody had cell phones, and you had a job to do. So you went outside, and we went to the first payphone, and we all followed you. And you had to call the office. Or I guess the
yeah, I did not remember that. I mean, I remember talking to the person on the. I remember the cell. I remember on the being on the phone, but I forgot that you guys were right there waiting to hear what the word was. Yeah.
And you got the word. Of course, you left, and you know we all just kind of you know fluttered around, and most of us headed back to the hotel, got our stuff together because we were just for like a mini camp, and it was kind of a workout mini camp, like the first weekend of the. You know, the practice session for the Birmingham Stallions. And, but yeah, I mean, it's one of those days, and I have a lot of people that, you know, they always ask me about it. And I said, well, you know, the chances of, you know, Paul Feinbaum interviewing, you know, me on that day with all the other superstars that he could have interviewed. You know, it was just a blessing.
Well, Russ, thank you. We're at the end of the hour here. Thank you so much. I will talk to you soon.